Alright, Shavuot say good morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. We are up to, today's daf is Kuf Nun Aleph 151. We are picking up Kuf Nun on the days 150b. Four lines up from the bottom. Start. So let's remember again, the Gemara was discussing the case, if a person goes ahead and says, Nechasai Leploni. Right, my property should go to Ploni. So the Shaila Rabbah said the Gemara was trying to figure out, not Shaila, but the Gemara was trying to discuss what's included in that statement of Nechasai. What items does that include? So the Gemara says, four lines up in the bottom, Kuf Nun 150b, Shtara Ikr Nechasi. We'll say a shtar is called property. Damar Rabba Bar Yitzchak. Shnei Shtarosin. There are two different types of shtaros. What are the two different types of shtaros? Amar Zohu B'sada Zeh. So we'll say, if I say to witnesses, go ahead and acquire this field on behalf of Reuven, and also write for him a document. So I'm telling the witnesses to be makabel kinyan, to acquire the field on behalf of Reuven, and then I'm telling them to write a shtar as well. So what's the halacha? Chozer b'shtar v'in a chozer b'sada. So we'll say, so they have the right to go ahead, to go ahead and recant or retract on giving the shtar, but not on the field. In other words, we'll say, once the Eidim have been mekabel kinyan on the field, so the field belongs to Reuven. The difference is that the shtar, the document itself, is just a shtar raya. It's a document of proof. And therefore, I choose to tell the witnesses, I don't want you to write the shtar. I have the ability to do so. The Gemara says, Amanash tekhtavu lo asa shtar. On the other hand, if I say to witnesses, I want you to acquire this field for Reuven on the condition that you write the shtar. So in other words, I'm making the acquisition of the field dependent on the writing of the shtar. In other words, the shtar is going to be the mechanism through which the Eidim will acquire the field on behalf of Reuven. In that case, I will say, Choz Rebein B'shtar Bein Mesada. I have the ability to go ahead and retract both the field as well as the sod. There are in fact three cases of shtar. What are the three cases of shtar? Trey, honey, darmas. We'll say the two cases that we just mentioned before. Idach, the third case is, im kadam mocher v'kasav es hashtar. So let's listen to this. Let's say I plan on selling property to Reuven. But what do? I go ahead and I pre-write the shtar. I pre-write the shtar even before the transaction happens. If you look at the last Rashbam on the page, im kadam v'kasav shtar, mechira, lios mezumon lelokeach kol shashi yirtzel amachro l'sadeu. Lo ye eko b'ma'osav, Bishok Sivas Hashtar. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, I want to sell Reuven this field, and I know Reuven wants to buy this field. I want to seal the deal as quickly as possible, and I don't want the drafting of the paperwork to delay the transaction. So what do? I proactively write the shtar. So I'm not going to see Reuven until Friday, and it's only Monday. I go and I proactively write the shtar. So just look at the Rashbam on the top of Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Kosen has shtar lamocher. Afapi denochov el lamocher vechevin shuros alichtolo. See, Rabbi says, the only person who is put out, when you go ahead and you write the shtar early, is who is the seller. Because technically speaking, if the seller accidentally loses that shtar, and let's say purchaser goes ahead and finds it, so the purchaser would have the ability to go ahead and claim that he owns the field when in fact he never paid for it. If the seller is willing to take that risk and pre-write the shtar in order that it is ready at the time of the transaction, so the transaction could occur quickly, then lemaisa, again, the halacha says he can do so. So the top of Kuf Nun Aleph, Kosin Shtar Lamocher, Afapi Shen Lokei Akimo. We write a shtar for the seller, even though the purchaser is not with him. And what happens, I will say, when the transaction ultimately occurs? Kevan Shehichzik Zeba Karka, Nikne Shtar Kol Mokom Shehu. We'll say, so in that case, where the shtar was pre-written, so as soon as Reuven acquires the land, through the kinyan on the land, he also acquires the shtar, wherever it may be. V'zohi Sheshaninu, and this is what we learn, Nechasim She'en Lehen Achrayis, Miknin in Nechasim She'esh Lehen Achrayis, B'Kesef B'Shtar B'Chazak. And I'm going to say, this is what we learned when we said that movable property can be acquired with real property through Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. So I'm going to say, what do you see from here? You see from here that a Shtar is called Nechasim She'en Lehen Achrayis. It's called, again, movable property. So therefore, again, when a person goes ahead and conveys his property, Nechasai, to another individual, so what happens? So the mice again, that includes the shtar. Fine. Behema. Suppose I similarly again, behema ikri nechasi. An animal is also called property. Where do we know this? From this nan. Hamakdish nechasa vai sabahan behema ru'i l'gabim mizbeach. If a person consecrated his property. I made my property hagdish, and included in my property were animals. And there are animals who are fit for carbonic service. Zecharim olos, so the male animals are offered up as an ola. Unikevos yimkru letzarche zivcheshlanim. And the female animals are both said are sold, and ultimately, again, are used, or they themselves or their monies are used for zivcheshlanim. Fine. Ofos ikrin lechasim. Birds are called property. So we'll say again, we're just going through the list of all the things that are included. If you make the open-ended statement of the chasai leploni, my property goes to ploni, what's included in that? Next, birds are called property. This none. Hamakdish nechasavayu bahen dvar maharuyun gabi mizbeach, yenos shmanim va'ofos. Because we'll say the pasuk says that, the Mishnah says that if a person consecrates his property and included in his estate are things that are fit for the mizbeach, like wine, oil and birds. So you see from here that birds are considered property. Tefillin. We'll say tefillin are called ikri nechasi. Tefillin are called property. This nan hamakdish nechasav. If a person consecrates his property, ma'alin lo tefillin. We assess the value of his tefillin. So you see that tefillin is also called property. And we'll say ask the Gemara something so beautiful. Libay lehu. Sefer Torah mai. We'll say what happens if a person possesses a Sefer Torah. What's the halacha about Sefer Torah? Look at the Rashi for just a moment. Sefer Torah, min mikri nechasi kitfilin. Min mikri nechasi. Is Sefer Torah called property? On one hand, kitfilin dami. So is it like a religious article like tefillin? And just as we've established that tefillin is considered to be property, so a Sefer Torah is property as well. O dilma, tefillin hainu taima dahavi malbush. Aval sefer mitzvahi velo nechasi. So we'll say, listen to this. On the other hand, tefillin, and this is actually quite interesting, tefillin has the din of a malbush, of an article of clothing. So maybe since tefillin, we know this, we'll say, because remember again, we learned about this concept in Maseches Shabbos, right? If a person finds multiple pairs of tefillin out, and right, let's say again in a place where they can't carry, so a person has the, and let's say they're going to be ruined, so a person has the ability to put on the tefillin even on Shabbos in order to transport them. Isn't that carrying? No, that's called wearing, because tefillin has a certain din of a malbush. So what's the status of a Sefer Torah? Is it like tefillin, in that, is that it's a religious article? Or maybe tefillin is different because at the end of the day, tefillin still has a quasi-din of a malbush, of an article of clothing, whereas a Sefer Torah does not. To which the Gemara says, Kivan delo mizdabin, de asr lizabune lav nechasi. Well, I would say the following. Well, since on one hand, we'll say you are not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. And we'll say, we learned this, remember again, in Maseches Megillah, the Gemara there discusses all of the halachos of selling religious articles. So generally the halacha is, you're allowed to sell a religious article if what? If you're going to use the proceeds to buy something of a higher sanctity. So I could go ahead and sell chumashim if I'm going to go ahead and buy a Sefer Torah. But generally the halacha is, you cannot sell a Sefer Torah. So do we say kevan, so I'm sorry, so on one hand, Kevan de lo mizdabin, Kevan de lo mizdabin, the asr lizabun ilav nechasi. On one hand, I would say, since it can't be sold, that shows that's not my property. On the other hand, O Dilma, Kevan de mizdabin, lilmo Torah valisa isha nechasifu. Well, so on the other hand, there is a license to sell a Sefer Torah when, if a person needs to go ahead and learn, and I need the tuition, right? I need to go ahead, I need to be able to go to the yeshiva to learn, I could sell the Torah, use the proceeds to learn. Or, a person needs to get married, and they don't have the funds to be able to make the chasen, a person could sell a Sefer Torah ultimately for that purpose. So in that respect, I can sell a Sefer Torah for certain of my own personal needs. Does that not make it my property? To which the Gemara says, teku. So we'll say, out of all of these, again, although we've been definitive that all these other things are called nechasai, when it comes to Sefer Torah, the Gemara ends off with a teku. On one hand, I have the ability to sell it for certain needs. That should make it like my property. On the other hand, I don't have a carte blanche to just sell it in any way that I want. So perhaps it's not my property. Because of this ambiguity, the Gemara ends off with a teku. Weiter. We want to tell us a couple of stories, I will say, that are quite interesting. Just halachic stories. Ime d'Rav Zutra Bar Tovia. Listen to this. The mother of Rav Zutra Bar Tovia, Hasvinu l'nechase l'Rav Zutra Bar Tovia. So I'll say, so the mother of Rav Zutra wrote her property. Bepashtos, this sounds like a matnas shchemira. We'll see it in just a moment. I'm sorry, this is not the matnas shchemira yet. Hasvinu l'nechase l'Rav Zutra Bar Tovia, t'baylin subile, l'Rav Zivid. So we'll say, so the mother of Rav Zutra the mother of Ruzucha was getting married. She was marrying Rav Zavid. And remember, like we saw yesterday, she did not want her new husband to have any rights in her property. So what does she do? She goes ahead and she gifts the property over to her son. Now again, in her mind, the understanding is what? I'm gifting this to you in order that you can go, in order that my new husband has no rights in this property. But should for some reason the marriage fail, then what? I want my property back. So what happens? In Siba, so sure enough, she got married to Rav Zavid, Vigarsha, and they got divorced. First wide line. So what happens? So she comes back to her son, Rav Zutra, for the property, and apparently Rav Zutra says, no. Rav Zutra says, no, you gave it to me as a gift, and I don't have to give it back to you. They brought the Psak Halacha before Rabbi Yir Bar Abaye. So what happens? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, fine. So Amar Mishum Insubi, Vaha Insubi. So what happens? So Rabbi Yir Bar Abaye passed in an interesting way. He says, at the end of the day, this was a gift given on the condition that she marries, and she married. Now, as I will say, Rabbi Yir Bar Abaye understood that the gift was a final gift. He understood that the mother was saying to her son, I'm giving you this gift on the condition that I get married, which meant, had she never gotten married, the gift would not have been valid. But now that she did get married, the gift was valid, and she has no recourse to get the property back. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Vaha in Sebe, Vefsida, Dekana Bna, Rabbi literally says, we view this as a gift al tanai, but a different kind of tanai. The tanai is, I'm giving you this gift on the condition that I get married. Once I get married, the gift is final. What are you talking about? So we've seen this expression before. So Rav Huna Rav Yehoshua says to Rabbi Yehoshua Abaye. So we'll remember again, Rabibi is the son of Abaye. Abaye is a descendant of Eliyah Cohen. The family of Eliyah Cohen was cursed that the male members of the family will die young. This is a result, ultimately, again, of the transgressions of Chafni and Pinchas, Eli's two sons. So comes along Rav Huna. He says, Rabbi Yir Bar Abaye, because you come from Mimuloim, because you come literally from the stunted ones, it can either mean blemished ones, stunted ones, truncated ones. So because you come from these blemished people, Amrisu Mili Mulaisa, you say blemished stuff, which is another way of saying, I politely disagree with what it is that you've just advanced. Afilu man domer mavreches kani. So we'll say, because remember, even the one who says that mavreches is the case of where a wife is getting married, a woman is getting married, she does not want her new husband to have any rights in her assets, and so she goes ahead and gives it over to her children. Similar, according to Mandarim, says that mavreches is kani, hani mili hecha delo gal yadaita, aval hocha gal yadaita, Dimishum in Subihu, Vaha in Seba Vigirsha. So we'll say, so comes along from Rabbi Yehoshua and says, Rabbi Yir Bar Abaye, what are you talking about? In this case, it's clear that the mother of Rav Zutra, was clearly only giving this property to her son. Why? In order to create a shelter so that ultimately her new husband should not have any rights in the property. So there's what we call a gilui das, a clear expression of intent. And I will say, wherever there is a clear expression of intent, then what? Then ultimately, again, that becomes the tanai. The tanai was not, I'm giving you my property on the condition that I get married. And once I get married, the property is yours. It's clear that the gilui das, the expression of intent, I will say, was what? I don't want my new husband to have rights in the property, therefore I'm gifting you this property for the duration of my marriage. But it is understood that should the marriage dissolve, then what? Then ultimately the gift is cancelled and the property returns back to the mother of Rav Zutra. So the Gemara goes weiter. Imei Drei Bar Chama, let's say another story. Imei Drei Bar Chama, just by the way, if you take a quick look at the Rashbam, Mimuloi, right, so over here, the Abaye Aviv, the Mishpachas Beis Eli. So remember again, Abaye, the father of Rav Bibi, was from the family of Eli HaKohen. Kidarminon Abaye Vram Mishpachas Beis Eli Kasu. Vizel Shem Mekoman Bebreshis Rabba. Remeir Azo Lememala Ra'a Osan Shein Shchorirosh. So we'll say, so some say that Mulai is actually the name of their birthplace. That was the name of the actual place. Milu Mulai, Sadrashbam says, Bali Mumin Shein Bahen Mamish. So again, the Rashbam then seems to change course a little bit. Either it's a play on words, the name of the place, or the Rashbam ultimately says that ultimately Mishum Da'asi Mimulai could either mean the name of the place that they came from, or it could be an expression of being blemished. Because you come from blemished people, do not say blemished things. So Barama and Rabbah say what we get out of this story is that Lamaisa, Rav Huna Breit Rav Yoshua disagreed with Rabibi, and paskind that the mother of Rav Zutra got back her property that she gifted to her son before she got married to her second husband. And upon the dissolution of that second marriage through divorce, the property goes back to the mother. Next case. Ime Drayim Bar Chama. The mother Drayim Bar Chama, we'll say, again. Now, Bepashtos, this is a case, ultimately, again, of... This is going to be a case of Shemira. So what happens? The mother of Drayim Bar Chama, in the evening... Kasvinhu l'mechas l'Rayim Bar Chama. So we'll say, in the evening, Rayim Bar Chama went to visit his mother, and she wrote over all of her property to him. But Safra, in the morning, Kasvinhu l'Rav Ukva Bar Chama. So we'll say, let's see what happened over here. In the evening, she gave it to her first son, Rayim Bar Chama. She gave all of her property to her first son. In the morning, she decided to go ahead and write all of that property to her second son, to Rav Ukva Bar Chama, brothers. So what's the Shaila? The Shaila, of course, is, who is the owner of the property? Also, Rav Bar Chama, the Kenei Rav Sheshas. So Rav Bar Chama, we'll say, the son who received the property in the evening, went before Rav Sheshas, Ukmei Benechase, and Rav Sheshas paskind that indeed the property belonged to the first son, to Rami Bar Chama. Also, Rav Ukva Bar Chama Kamed Rav Nachman, Rav Ukva Bar Chama, the second son of Bosei, received the property in the morning, went to his Rav, went to Rav Nachman, and had Rav Nachman paskin, Okme Binachase. And Rav Nachman paskin, that Rav Ukva, the second son, was the owner of the property. So I will say, so now what are we going to do? Asa Rav Sheshes Kamed Rav Nachman. So Rav Sheshes came before Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes says, Amarle, my time of Ukme Mar Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Rav Sheshes, why are you paskining that the property belongs to the second son, Rav Ukva Bar Chama? In other words, why would you uphold the gift to the second son? Imishum dehadraba, if you want to say because we view ultimately again that the mother retracted her first gift, that ultimately again she changed her mind. She first gave it to Rami, and then she decided to give it to Rav Ukva. So the Gemara says, "Hashchiva, she died." She died. Now, listen, what does that mean? Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam's gear says, Vahamesa. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom, towards the middle of the line. Vahamesa. Dibishlamim lo mesa tanan, lo shia karka kol shem atanasa matana, ukimosh chazu min arishon, kishnas lo sheni taxer ba min asheni, nami imtirza, aval ata shemesa, tiskaye matana rishona, ויקנה ראשון שיינתנה במתנס שכמירה ודבריה כחסורים לחמסורים וכשמסה ולא מינה דייתיקי מלדס דייתיקי. Well, listen to this. So Rav Sheshes comes along and says, listen, this was a matnas shchimira. The people say, what happens in the matnas shchimira? We say, divrei shchimira kichzuvin vichimsurin damu. That ultimately, again, a gift of a shchimira is like it's written and sealed. So therefore, once the mother gave the property to Rami, then what Rabbah say? It was written, sealed, and done. She no longer has the right to go ahead and change her mind and give it the next morning to Rav Ukva. So the Gemara says, Amarle, Hachi Amar Shmuel. But see, he responds this. Rav Nachman responds back. Excuse me, Rav Sheshes responds back. I'm sorry. Rav Nachman responds back to Rav Sheshes. And he said, Amarle, Hachi Amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. Kol she'ilu amad chozer, chozer b'matanaso. So Shmuel said, I will say, any time that if a person were to recover, the gift would be cancelled, they have the right to go ahead and change their mind about the gift. Which I will say, that's a matnas shchemira. A matnas shchemira is any gift where if a person recovers ultimately again, the gift is voided, they have the right before they die to change the intended recipient. Which I will say makes sense, because what is that another way of saying? If you have the right, if you recover, if to say if you recover, the gift is voided, it's another way of saying that's what? That the gift is not chal until when? until you die. Which means that if it's not chal until I die, I have the right to change my intended recipient as many times as I want before I die. So therefore, again, in this case of Yerabosai, the mother was gifting all of her property. This was a matna shchiv meira. And were she to recover, ultimately, again, the gift would be voided. If that's the case, she has the right to change the intended recipient as many times as she wants. So okay, in the evening she gave it to Rami, the next morning she gave it to Rav Ukva, but that's her prerogative, and therefore Rav Ukva, the second son, is really the rightful owner of the property, to which the Gemara says, Amar Dar Shmuel Yatzmo. So maybe Shmuel's din is only when what? When the individual ultimately is changing their mind and taking the property back to themselves. However, La Acher Mi Amar, but would Shmuel actually say this halacha even when it comes to gifting it to another? Amarly, he said yes. Beferu Shem Shol, Shmuel said this explicitly. Bein Liatzmo, Bein La Acher. He'll say that ultimately the Shlimura can change his mind, and he could choose ultimately to gift the property to a second recipient, or he could choose to take the property back for himself. Either way, that is his prerogative. In other words, we'll say any gift which, if I recover, ultimately again will be voided, I have the right to change the recipient as many times as I want. Therefore, again, Rav Nachman says back to Rav Sheshes that halacha lemaisa, again, the mother had absolutely every right to go ahead and change the intended recipient from Rami in the evening, ultimately again to Rav Ukva in the morning. Next case, we'll say. So, by the way, and that indeed is halacha lemaisa. We accept Shmuel's principle that any time if you were to recover the gift is void, you have the right during this period of time between the giving of the gift and death to change the intended recipient as many times as you want. So we'll say, this is the interesting anomaly. See, even though we say that the words of a shchimira are as if they're written in a shtar, that's true and it's not true. It's meaning they have the power as if they're written in a shtar, but yet what? The shchimira has the right to change his or her mind as many times as they want. Good. So if we'll say, in this case, ultimately the halacha said that the property was awarded to the second son to Rav Ukva, the son who was awarded the property by his mother in the morning. Next case. Imid Rav Amram Chasida, Havi Le Maluga Dishtari. So we'll say the mother of Rav Amram Chasida had a Maluga Dishtari. The Rashbam says over here, Krach Shal Shtaros, Inami Nartik Mal Shtaros. A bag filled with documents, right? Loan documents, that, meaning money that was owed to her. So the Gemara says, so what happens? Kika Shachva, when she died, Amra Le Havi Le Amram Bari. So we'll say, so what happens? So she said, When I die, ultimately, again, I want this to go to Amram, my son. Right? I want all of this to be inherited. So Rashbam writes over here, Hanila Amram bini, kigon shekano miyada, inai below kinyan, kigon delo shaira midi. So we'll say either there was a kinyan performed, or Lamai says no kinyan performed. This was a matna shchidmira. She was gifting away her whole estate. But she said explicitly, and I'm both saying now, in this case over here, her statement just covers this bag filled with loan documents. So she's saying, I want all of this to go to Amram, my son. So what happens? So Rav Amram Chasida's brothers come before Rav Nachman. So the mother dies, and they come before Rav Nachman. And what do the brothers say? Amrulei v'ha lo mashach. So Amram shouldn't really acquire it. Why? Because he never did mashicha, right? This should be split up amongst us all. Amr lehu, to which Rav Nachman responded, divrei shchimira. It was like it was writing. Why? I will say because the words of a shemira are as if ultimately, again, they're recorded in a document. Good. Achsei Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masna. So we'll say the sister of Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masna. Chasvinu l'nechasi Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masna. B'tzafra. So we'll say, so what happens? So the sister of Rav Tuvi bar Masna was dying, and she wrote all of her property to her brother Rav Tuvi. And now this happened in the morning. Lepanya, in the evening, Asarav Achta Boy Barav Masna. Suppose she has another brother. So remember, sister's dying. She writes her property to her brother Rav Tuvi. Rav Tuvi and this sister have another brother, a man by the name of Rav Achta Boy. So in that evening, Rav Achta Boy comes to visit his sister. Bachala. He begins to cry to her. And what does he say? Amr La Hashta Amri Mar Tzura Mirabanon Umar Lav Tzura Mirabanon. So he says to his sister, if you leave all of the property to Rav Mari, if you leave all the property Rav Tuvi, you leave all the property to Rav Tuvi, and you leave nothing to me, then what? Everyone's going to say that you left it to Rav Tuvi because he was a great Talmud Chacham, and the fact that I got nothing indicates that what? That I'm nothing. I'm not a Talmud Chacham. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Kasvinu Nihile. So the sister changed her mind, and she wrote the entire estate to Rav Achta Boy. right? So in the evening, or I should say in the morning, ultimately again, Rav Tubi was the inheritor of the estate. Comes evening, the sister changed her mind and ultimately gives it to Rav Achdeboy. So we'll say, so now she dies. The shaila is what? Who is the owner of the estate? So they came up for Rav Nachman. Amar Lei, Haki Amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. Kol She'ed Ilu Amad Chozer Matanasa. So we'll say again, just an illustration of the same principle. Shmuel said, any gift, or we'll say, where if the person recovers, the gift is voided. That means the gift is not chal until the death of the person, which means they have the right to change the intended recipient as many times as they want. Therefore, again, Rav Tuvi, I'm sorry, but ultimately the owner of Achtabai is the owner of the estate. Dravdini bar Yosef. Well, so that case is also interesting, by the way, because it's an interesting case of where you actively have a second party lobbying for the transfer of the assets to them, right? In other words, the second party influencing the grantor ultimately to gift it to them. But again, assuming that we could establish that the grantor had proper capacity, they have the right to change the intended recipient however they want. Achse Dravdini bar Yosef. Well, so listen to this. The sister of Ravdini bar Yosef had a small orchard. Every time she became sick, so she wasn't married, didn't have children. So what happens? Every time she became sick, she went ahead and she would convey ownership of this property to her brother Ravdimi. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara said, "V'chi kaimus hava hadraba." But yeah, so we'll say, so apparently, again, I don't know what the Matzias is over here. I don't know if she was one of those people who was always dying. And therefore, again, you know, because whatever, mamish, like, this is the end, this is it. So she would convey ownership of the property to her brother. Or maybe Nebuch, she was just, mamish, just a very sickly lady. Whatever the Matzias is, every single time she thought she was at death's door, she would convey the property to Rav Dimi. But then ultimately, again, when she would recover, she would take it back from him. So we'll say, so watch this. Zimna chada chalsha. So we'll say, so apparently what used to happen was, she would, well, watch this. Zimna chada. So one time chalsha, she became once again very ill. Very ill. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. We have to look at Zimnechad Chalsha. One time she became very ill. Shal Chalei. Ta Kani. So she sent for her brother Ravdimi. Right, Ravdimi? Ravdimi. She sent for her brother Ravdimi. She said, come to me and acquire my property. Shalach Lo Ba'ina. He said, no, I'm tired of this already. I'm not coming again. So Shal Chalei. Ta Kani Kol Hecha Debois. So listen to this. So she sent to him, look at this lashon. Talk, honey, come and acquire kol hecha debos in any way that you want. Now look at the Rashba for just a moment. Ta v'kani kol hecha debos ba ata elai ukne asada bekinyan gomer b'chol inyan shetirza shelo ucha lachzar. So he's frustrated. I will say, you know, why exactly this would cause him frustration is not immediately clear. It could be that what happens here, Bose, is even though, again, she didn't need him to come to her to make a matna shchidnira, she was always summoning him to her bedside, right, for her last will and request. And then what happens? So she summons him. Baruch Hashem, she has a refuah shleima. She takes back the property. So I'm not coming. I'm tired of this already. So she says, here's the deal. If you come now, I will give you the property in an irrevocable fashion. Or as part of his frustration is, he's coming, he's getting the property, she recovers, she takes back the property. It's a waste of my time. So she says to him, if you come now, I will let you acquire the property in a way that creates an irrevocable gift. Come and acquire Pekinyan Gummer, Bechol Inyan Shatir Shal Ucha Lachzar. So if you come now, this is the last time we'll deal with this property. I'm going to give it to you, and it's yours forever. So we'll say, so what happens? So Azal, so Rav Dimi shows up. Shaira v'kanu mina. So what happens, Rav Osei? So ultimately, again, he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Do you have other estate? Do you have other property in your estate? She said, yes. He said, fine. I want you to withhold something for yourself and just give me this particular orchard. Rav Osei, so what does that do? Matna shchimira is defined as what? When someone gives away their entire estate. If the shchimira retains something for themselves, then the status of what they give away is the status of what? Just a regular bona fide matana. So he says to her, keep something for yourself, give me the paradise, shalom al Yisrael. Now I own the orchard. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Azul asa v'shayar v'kanumine, l'oratz l'kabal kol asada, el shir la'atzma ma'at. Fine. So says the Gemara. So what happens? Sure enough, Baruch Hashem, ki kaima, she recovers. She recovers. Now what happens again after like the 75th miraculous recovery? Hadraba, she wants the orchard back. She wants the orchard back. So we'll say, so watch this. So they brought, so obviously, Rav Dimi is saying, no. Remember, we went through this. You told me I could acquire the property no matter what. We did a proper kinyan. The property that you gave me was not a matna shchemira, so I'm not giving it back to you. So they brought the case before Rav Nachman. So listen to this, Rabbi Say. So the sister goes to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, this is very dramatic. Rav Nachman summons Rav Dimi. Shalach lei ta. He says, Rav Dimi, come to Beis Din. Lo asa. Rav Dimi does not show up. Amar Mai, Siddhi Gemara says, Amar Mai, Mai Isi, why should I come? Ha Shaire Vekano Mina. I don't understand. Rav Nachman, you know the halacha, I know the halacha. Why do I need to show up in Beis Din? Meaning, we're not disputing the facts. The facts are that I came to her bedside, I acquired the pardes, she retained property for herself, it's not a maknas shchemira, it's a regular matana, there's no discussion over here. Why do I have to show up in Beis Din? So listen to this, Rav Nachman says, Shalach lei, so Rav Nachman sends to Rav Dimi, Shalach lei, ilo asis, if you don't show up, machina lecha besilu delo mava dama, I'm going to strike you with a thorn that does not draw blood. So Rav Nachman says, if you do not show up on the circuit, what does that mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, "Besilu de la mava dama, kot shemachiv, a thorn that causes pain, ve'en yitzias dam nikarbo, dahainu nidui." So we'll say, Rav Nachman threatens Rav Dimi, if you do not show up to Beis Din, I'm going to excommunicate you. I'm going to put you in cheder. So we'll say again, the halacha is, you have to show up in Beis Din. A person gets hazmana to Beis Din. You can disagree, you can argue, you can do whatever you want, but you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge it. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Dimi, you have no right. You might be Rav Dimi, but you have no right to not show up in Beis Din. So listen to this. So fast forward, Rav Nachman shows up in Beis Din. So Rav Nachman is there with his Baruch Hashem newly healed sister. What happens? They're adjudicating, what do we do with the orchard? So says the Gemara. So Amar Lahu Lasadi. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman Rav Osu, his members, is heading to Beis Din. He says to the witnesses, because they will say, B'pashtos, they did this transaction in front of witnesses, because the goal was that the transaction should stand. So Rav Nachman says to the witnesses, Nu, Heichi Hava Maisa. Tell me, what happened? What happened to Rav Dimi and his sister? So Arulia, the witnesses said, Amra Hachi. At the time of the transaction, the sister said the following, Vai de kamisa hach isasa. Nebach, right? Woe that this sister is going to die. Look at the Rashbam, we'll say for just a moment. The Rashbam says, Avai kimisa hach isasa, Velo tira es acheha shena rotza lavo elai. So the witnesses said that when the sister called for her brother, so she said, woe to me that I'm going to die and I'm not going to see my brother. So we'll say, so what did Rav Nachman just establish? Rav Nachman just established that the motivation for this gift of Bosai was what? Her imminent death. Obviously not so imminent, but her imminent death. So that's why she's sending for her brother, I'm going to die, my brother hasn't even come to see me. So we see the motivation for this entire transaction was her death. Rav Nachman Bosai therefore says something amazing. Im kein, hava mitzave machmas misa. U mitzave machmas misa chozer. Rav Nachman says something absolutely amazing. Rav Nachman says it is clear contextually that the entire motivation for this transaction was what, Rav Bosai? Her impending death. That was the entire motivation. Therefore, Rav Nachman says, we have something called, now Bosai being introduced to a new concept of mitzave machmas misa. See, Rabbi Osei, Mitzava Machmas Misa means when it is clear from the context, and this Rabbi Osei, we're going to has to actually be articulated, that a person is only gifting their property away because they think they are going to die. Even though they are not conforming to a typical matnas shchemira, which is where a person is divesting themselves of all of their property, but it's clear that they're giving away their property because they think they're going to die, that's called Mitzava Machmas Misa. Mitzava Machmas Misa is like what? Is like a gift Alt Tanai. It's like a gift with a condition. And therefore, again, should the person recover, ultimately, again, the gift is Zerubbabel. So I take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Imke Mitzvah Machmas Misahi, V'cho Mitzvah Machmas Misa, Chozer. I will say, any time, ultimately, again, you give a gift, and it's clear that the giving of that gift is motivated by a feeling that a person is going to die imminently. So ultimately, if they don't die, Chozer Be'im Matana B'Mitzas B'Im Matana B'Lo Shir. V'afilu Kanu Miyado. The Boss said, listen to this. See, even if I thought I was going to die, I gave some property to someone, and I went ahead and I made a kinyan with them, and I didn't give away my whole estate, but if it's clear that the motivation for the gift is the impending death of the grantor, of the giver, if that person recovers, hadar bekulu, biadua, shalo haya kinyan ela machmas misa, hoil v'haya misonin al misasa be'is sabaso, if a person clearly articulates that the motivation for this transaction is their death, then that's called Mitzvah Machmas Misa. Mitzvah Machmas Misa, Rabosai, is the equivalent of giving a gift with a tnai, and therefore should the person recover, ultimately again the gift is void. Therefore, Rav Nachman's paskins, that because the sister made it clear that she is sending for her brother and engaging in this transaction, why? Because she thinks she's going to die, that the motivation for this gift was her impending death, therefore when she recovers, the gift is void, the pardes goes back to her. They're both saying, even though what? Even though she retained property for herself, and even though they did an actual kinyan. Incredible. Itmar. So we'll say, we're going to expound on this a little bit. Itmar. Matna Shchimera b'miksas. So we'll say, what happens if a Shchimera only gives away part of his property? So Amru Rabbanek Meidu Rabbi Mishmei Dura Merzutra Beidu Rab Nachman Dura Mishmei Dura Nachman Hari Kimatnas Bari Vari Kimatnas Shchimera. So we'll say, if a Shchimera gives away part of his property, so in certain respects, that gift is like the gift of a Shchimera, but in certain respects, it's also like the gift of a Bari. How so? So the Gemara says, Hari kimat nas bari, shem amad ino chuzer. So we'll say on one hand, it's like the matan of a bari, in that if the Shchemira recovers, he cannot retract the gift. But Pashtos, this is because he did not give away his entire estate. Vahari kimat nas Shchemira, teloba ino kinya. But I will say, it's like a man of Shchemira, and that a kinya is not necessary. Amrulu Rava. Rava said, come on. Lava mina lachu. Lo titlu buki sriki Rav Nachman. Have I not told you many times not to hang empty jugs on Rav Nachman? Which I will say apparently is like a Talmudic shtoch. It's like another way of saying like empty jugs means you're saying stuff with absolutely no content. You're attributing statements to Rav Nachman that Rav Nachman himself did not make. Hachiyom Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Harihi kimat nasbari ubaya kinyan. Rav Nachman said that anytime a shchimira just goes in and conveys partial property, that is like a matnas bari, and in order for that gift to be binding, ultimately, again, you'd have to be makabel kinyan. Rav Nachman, shir karka kol shu matanas okayemes. Yet Rav Nachman, we learn that what? That if a person goes in, a shchimira retains some property for himself, then what's the halacha? Shir karka kol shu, matanasa kemes. Also, remember, what does matanasa kemes mean? Matanasa kemes means that even if the person does not die, the gift still stands. In other words, we'll say when the Shchimira conveys property, but retains some property for himself, it is no longer categorized as a matnas Shchimira, rather it's categorized as a regular matana, which means it's an unconditional gift, which means that even if the Shchimira recovers, the matana still stands. My lab de lo konomine. Are we not talking about a case where there was no Kabbalah's kinyan? To which the Gemara says, lo, de konomine. No, there was Kabbalah's kinyan. Iachi ema seifa lo shir karka kol shu in matanasa kayemes. But yet then look at the seifa. When the seifa says that the Shchimira did not retain any property for himself, the matana is not kayem. Vi de konomine. And if there was Kabbalah's kinyan, amai ein matanasa kayemes, then why isn't the matana kayem if there was a real Kabbalah's kinyan? Also get ready for this. Omelehachi omer Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. Shchimira. Shekasav kol mechazav la'achirim. It was like a Shmuel paskins the following. That when the Shchimira gives away all of his property to others, afal pi shekano miyado. It was like even if they did a kinyan. So let's say it was saying in this case, Shchimira is inviting the people to his bedside. He says, listen, I'm giving you my property. And let's do Kabbalah's kinyan. I want to do a kinyan with you. Nevertheless, amad chozer. If the Shchimira recovers, the gift is void. Why? Because it is understood that the only reason that Shechemira has given him his property is why? Is because he thinks he's about to die. So we'll say, you see the incredible novelty? See, we only thought that a matan of a Shechemira perhaps is cancelable or is voidable when the Shechemira recovers. And there was no Kabbalah's kinyan. But if he formalized the transaction through a kinyan, who's to say that he has the ability to go ahead and cancel the transaction? Comes along Shmuel's snow. That we have this now, this overarching framework that Shmuel is creating called Mitzuva Machmas Misa. Whenever it is clear, either through your words or through the context, that the only reason you're giving this gift is because you think you're going to die, so that is like a gift al tanai. Whether there was a kinyan, not a kinyan, if the person doesn't die, then lamaise, again, the gift is voided.
What makes something machmas misa?
So, see, either again, when a person says it, like in the case of the sister of Rav Dimi, I'm going to die, and my brother's not even coming to visit me, or it's clear that, again, the only reason is gifting away his property from the context.
The fact that the
Shkimira itself
doesn't make us...
So that we're going to see. Eisvei. Eis Rav Mashash Shel Rava. So Rav Mashash Shel brought up, we asked the question on Rava. So the Gemara said, Maisa be'iman shel b'nei Rochel, shay sechola. So we'll say, the mother... Of the sons of Rochel. Rochel is the father's name. So the mother of the sons of Rochel was a Shechemira, Shai Sechola. V'amra, Tinasin Kibinasi Lebiti. She had a pin. She had a very expensive pin. And she wanted to give her pin to her daughter. V'hu b'shnei masar mana. And we'll say that pin was worth 12 mana. Very expensive pin. Umesa. And she died. V'kaimu chacham, v'kaimu devareha. And the rabbis ultimately upheld to her. Now, what's novel about that case? Take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, "V'kaimu chacham mes tevareha." It's about 6 lines up from the bottom. Afapi dematnas b'miktas b'miktas below kinyan havi t'midiktani tevareha kaim mishad below kinyan hu. Let's listen to this. This was a case where she was a shchimera. She was gifting property, but it was only partial property, right? There was no kinyan. Yet the chachamim upheld her word. So what do you see from there? You see from there, both say that even a partial gift, has the ability to be like a matna shchimera. So what do you see from here? Hasam b'mitzuva machmas misa. They both say the difference in that case, they both say, is that is a case of mitzuva machmas misa. They both say that is clear where a person is giving the gift, ultimately again, because of their impending death. Look at the Rashbam. B'mitzuva machmas misa, she'eskira d'midaigos misahi mechalekes. They both say, listen to this. The way the Rashbam explains mitzuva machmas misa, they both say, is that a person explicitly says that they're giving the gift because they're about to die. So we'll say we seem to now have two different categories. A classic matna shchemira is where a person doesn't have to mention death. It's clear, as David just mentioned before, from the fact that they are a shchemira, that is a matna shchemira. So if a person's on their deathbed and they're giving away their estate, that's called a matna shchemira, even if they don't mention death once. Then there's another category. Then the category is mitzvah machmas misa. So machmas misa, where a person explicitly articulates that the reason they're giving this gift is why? Because they are about to die. So both say mitzvah machmas misa works even on partial property transfers. So even if I'm not conveying my entire estate, just part of an estate, if I articulate that I'm giving it away because I'm dying, then that has a status also of a matna shchemira. Look at the Rashbam once more. She's saying, I'm giving this away because I'm about to die. The mitzvah machmas misa lo bay kinyan. Hecha demes ben ikashir ben lechashir v'hachib askin. I will say, now the novelty over here is the following. And with this, we'll have to stop over here. But we know that the novelty of matna shchemira is what? What's the novelty of matna shchemira? That is kichsuvin v'chimsurin damu. Right? That it's as if it's recorded in the Shas, as if there was a kinyan. But matna shchemira only applies to what, Rabosai? Only applies to what? When you're giving away everything. The Gemara now is introducing us to a new concept called mitzuva machmas misa, that when you explicitly articulate that you're giving away property because you are about to die, say even though Rabbi, you're only giving away some property, but not other property, that conveyance becomes like a matna shchemira, and is effective even without a kinyan, but even though you are still retaining property for yourself. This is going to be called a mitzvah machmas misa. Rabbi, we'll stop over, we'll pick up Emir HaSashem with this category tomorrow. You have to express it. Context is only by shchemira. by mitzvah machmas misa, which is a partial, correct, total nothing. If you want mitzvah machmas misa, meaning a partial conveyance that has the power of a matna shkinira, there has to be an explicit articulation.
I think you have to be the answer to the partial one.